You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns for the latest news, photos, videos, and more from the team. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter at Browns and on Instagram at Official Browns. Now, before we get to after further review, Vic, one area that needs to be graded, and I think we can do it quickly because it's an obvious A+, is the equipment department of the Cleveland Browns run by Brad Mellon. And I just wanted to say A+ for him. I thought that the stylish combinations he put together always had the right cleats, the right jackets on the sideline. So, Brad Mellon, a tip of the cap to you, an A+ for me.
So what are you getting out of that? Some kind of you're looking for swag, clearly.
I'm not looking for swag at all. I just got a text from somebody that wanted to know when the equipment department was going to be graded, and so it was going to be graded right now.
All right.
A+.
I'm saying A++.
I'm going to go.
I want to ride that train too.
I'll see that and raise that to an A++. It's like the scene in A Christmas Story when he has the dream about his paper about the red rifle BB gun,
right.
And the teacher, who obviously hates it, when she goes, like 8 blackboards in a row with pluses.
So that's for Brad, and his crew. They are, by the way, as hard a working crew as I know in this building. You travel with this team, and you see what those guys do.
It's insane.
They're the first guys off the plane, the last guys on the plane, because they are hauling all the gear, and they are packing it up, and it's not fun to see what they have to do, but fascinating to get it right.
He's also a big wrestling fan, by the way. Friends with Jerry the King Lawler. Saw him when I was at Raw. Brad was at Raw as well.
He's a renaissance man. What can I tell you?
Yeah, we got to get you on the WWE Trey Notorious.
I'm clearly heading in that direction for sure. You know, being with you every day, I have no choice.
That's right.
Want to do after further review? Yes. Jason Gibbs, our outstanding producer. Jay, what do you have in store for us?
After further review.
Good music, good.
Yeah.
There we go.
Even Megan Rockwell dancing over there.
Yeah. Well, she was listening before to some of the NFL music, and Megan was kind of looking like, what is this? This is NFL film.
She wanted Lil Wayne.
Lil
Wayne.
Saw him in concert, you know that.
That's right.
I'm the only one in this room, I think, who might have seen him in concert.
Speaking of Renaissance men.
Not by choice. Go ahead.
All right, guys, question number one. Outside of quarterback, what is the biggest area of concern / need for Kyle Shanahan as he takes over the Browns offense?
I'm going to say it's got to be running game or running back. I want to see that develop because we've seen what this guy can do with that zone block scheme, and it's got to be the right marriage of linemen who fit the scheme and backs who fit the scheme. And I think this is where, I mean, the whole quarterback thing, we know it's going to take a ton of research and a big challenge for the personnel department to get that right. But I want to get this running game right and see it thrive in this way. And talking with NFL scouts, they actually enjoy scouting and picking players or finding players who fit this type of approach because there's a little less you can focus more on the athlete rather than the big mahonker kind of guy and the movement ability that they have. And you're asking them to do some things that are different than maybe what you would normally expect of a standard NFL line. There's not a lot of teams that do zone blocking, but if this is, we know this is what the Browns are going to be. And then the right back who has that one-cut instinct and can thrive in it. You don't necessarily have to be a superstar back to thrive in this running game, but you have to be the right back.
Kadeem Carey, look him up from Arizona. I think he's a very good fit for this offense. Since you covered that, I'm going to say fleshing out this receiving core. Adios, Greg Little. Let's bring in a number two wide receiver and get my guy Brandon Cooks to play in the slot and be kind of the Randall Cobb. A lot of creativity. You could see him on those end of rounds like we saw with Percy Harvin in the Super Bowl. Two of them that picked up 45 yards. I just think getting that type of explosiveness, that type of element of danger, when you add that to what will be an enhanced ground game, because we know they're going to get a running back via the draft or free agency, hopefully the draft.
Right.
Adding that to Josh Gordon, Jordan Cameron, there is a very quick path to turning this into one of the more exciting offenses in terms of talent and athleticism in the NFL, and it can happen just like that for the Cleveland Browns, which is why I am very excited. To me, getting that right is going to be very, very important.
Yeah, I concur wholeheartedly, you know, make that expand. Again, I've just worked operating on the presumption that you get quarterback, receiver, that's what this draft renders, and you said it, there'll be those running backs to find, but I think it's when you're talking about the whole running game, it's linemen and backs. So I think there's a bigger challenge to get it done. But I guess I'm putting some faith that there's enough draft picks. And if what the scouts are telling me is true, then they're going to achieve that.
Yes.
After further review.
All right, guys, question number two. Right now, who, in your opinion, is the best quarterback available in the 2014 NFL Draft?
I agree. I've watched now, and I'm doing more of this, but I have watched five games each from this past season of Bortles, Bridgewater, and Manziel. I would rank them as follows. Manziel, John Football, number one. Bortles, number two. Bridgewater, number three. With Manziel, obviously the concerns are his ability to survive and have his style carry over to the next level. But I noticed what good passes he made from the pocket. His arm strength improved year over year. So I do like him. Bortles has the size and everything you could want. But I think he's a developmental prospect. And in today's NFL, I don't know if he would get that time to develop to be the guy. Has the potential, I think, to have the highest ceiling of the three. Bridgewater, I think, may be the most fundamentally ready to come in and play day one in a pro-style passing offense. I don't love his body. I don't love his zip. There are some things that he does that I don't love. My biggest concerns with Bortles, he throws off his back foot a lot. He throws wide open a lot. Hopefully that kind of technique can be fixed. And with Manziel, it's the improv. And he does something that I call the kind of Cam Newton, Dante Culpepper. Takes a very deep drop, stands flat-footed at the top of that drop, waiting for something to happen before he delivers the ball or decides to run. That is not a sustainable thing to do in the National Football League. But that's my answer. Manziel, Bortles, Bridgewater.
I'm going to go with my ranking. And again, all of them need development in my view. I don't see a real NFL-ready guy coming out of this class that I would feel comfortable throwing in there. Obviously, one or more is going to play as a rookie. It happens that way in this league, and I get it. I get how that happens, and it could happen right here with the Browns as well. But that said, I'm similar to what you're thinking about, except I'm reversing the order. I'm putting Bortles at top. Even though your points about what he needs in development are true, I think what he has is a base with which to work physically is an advantage for him and is more quickly developed to the NFL game and I think has a more sustainable ability to it. I think his skill set, his physical attributes would allow him to be in the league longer term, succeed longer term than I think the other quarterbacks coming into this draft. I'm going to give Manziel the second spot here just on the sheer spark and what he brings beyond even his abilities. He's just that temperament, that drive, that ability, that I think he can will teams to win, and I think that's a quality that matters, but it comes in a very complex package. And he'll come in here or wherever he comes into the NFL as an entity onto himself. I think there's a swagger that he has that I think people will find, yeah, you want that, you like that, but it's got to be managed. I think it's a real challenge to see how a coaching staff can handle Johnny Manziel. It won't be easy. A first-year head coach will have his hands full, a first-year guy in Mike Pettine, for instance, but whether it's Bill O'Brien in Houston, whoever it might be. So I think there's a lot of inherent challenges with that. And here's the other thing. He gets hit a whole lot, and I worry about his durability. I don't think he can physically give you enough availability. I think John Manziel is going to spend a lot of time out of games because he's going to be tagged quite a bit by the people who don't, in the collegiate level, the people who aren't catching him will catch him in the NFL. And then after that, I'm going to say Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr showed
me
so much in more so than Teddy Bridgewater in my mind, but he showed me a lot watching him at the Senior Bowl practices, talking with a lot of scouts and coaches there. He was an impressive guy the whole week through. I think there's something about Derek Carr that's there's a lot to like. I would not be shocked if he starts shooting up the boards as we get closer and closer.
There's a lot of talk coming out of that now that he would be the Jags pick at number three because Gus Bradley got to coach him down at the Senior Bowl, and apparently they were
really
very impressed with him.
And there's a lot to like. And, we had him on
the
show from there.
Yeah, I loved him as a guy.
I spent time with him on our show. I spent time with him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. I spent time just kind of talking and got to know him a little bit over the course of a few days there. You don't get to know everything, but then you ask questions about him. And I like him.
Driven,
so he's three, and then I'm going to put Teddy Bridgewater four. Okay.
After further review.
All right, guys, moving on to the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks. Will they make it back to the Super Bowl a year from now?
No, 49ers.
Homer
talk. Yes, absolutely, and I like the Niners as a team better.
Whichever one of those two teams beats each other in the playoffs is going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm not the fan of the Niners that Nathan is, just because he grew up loving them. But I was disappointed this year because I thought they were back and I thought they'd win it if they got back. Had the Niners been in the Super Bowl, I would not have picked the Broncos. But I picked the Broncos because it was the Seahawks.
Now I see
the Seahawks as in a different light. And that defense came home to roost. That was a proving ground to show you just what, and I do believe they are influencing and are going to continue to influence, because it always happens out of the Super Bowl, how teams put their teams together. And there's something to be said for that great defensive build. And you point out all the undrafted guys they get. And, look at this team and this organization, the bottom of the roster heading into training camp. How many undrafted guys were added at the last? You and I were looking at each other every day in the studio saying, can you believe this?
Yeah.
It was like new names piling in.
Wasn't it like 10 in the last
season? They remade the bottom of the roster in the last off of all other training camp rosters. But that's how you get there with those, if you can get there. That's
and
the method to get and get it right, to get those defensive players. Defensive front. The Seahawks, they can ride that a long time.
Yeah. Although they have a lot of guys that they're going to have to pay.
All right, guys, last question on After Further Review today. Peyton Manning, so much made of his legacy and what it is, what it's going to be now. In your opinion, is he one of the five greatest quarterbacks to ever play the game? Yes, no, and why?
There's no question.
What's our list? Just to let the five greatest are Joe Montana.
John Elway.
Okay.
Are we going to go modern? Because then you can go into Otto Graham.
He just said five greatest of all time.
Okay.
So is Tom Brady on that list?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, so if we got Montana and Brady, now we got three spots left.
I'd go Montana, Brady,
okay.
Manning, Elway, and then I would either throw it to like a Johnny Unitas or an Otto Graham.
I was just going
to
say Johnny Unitas in there. Got to put Otto Graham on the list because we are in the middle of the Browns headquarters.
Okay.
No, that's not the reason, but I mean, you put him. I'll tell you what, he might make it as the fifth guy, but he would have made it a lot easier had he won a damn Super Bowl, a second Super Bowl. Watching him not only lose that game, but just be horrific in the process, be so befuddled, so ill-prepared. And I hated hearing what I heard from Wes Welker, who talked about the coaching. He basically threw the coaching staff under the bus, John Fox and the staff. He said they were not prepared to handle the noise that they were greeted with at MetLife Stadium, that it turned into a Seahawks home game, and they weren't ready for it. And he said the whole snap thing.
How can you not be ready for that?
Well, exactly. I mean, but he said they weren't preparing as if they had to deal with
a
noise issue.
Game.
Right. Like it was a road game. And it was a road game. Effectively a road game. That was extremely loud. Maybe it wasn't Seahawks home game loud, but it was damn close.
Let me ask you this, though. At that point in the season, they played on the road 8 times. They've gone into hostile environments. They should be able to make that adjustment on the fly. These are professionals.
Paid professionals.
Who have done it.
Should have. Yeah, I hear you. And I think Manning, for his own good, is a little too structured. I think in his own way, everything is about perfection with him. I know it's driven some of his teammates crazy because of how he does things, and he's had those sideline tiffs with guys like Jeff Saturday and other players because it has to be so, and he's in charge. And remember, he's not Peyton Manning just the quarterback. He's Peyton Manning, the offensive coordinator. I thought Peyton Manning, the quarterback, the coordinator, the whatever, the iconic person he is, fell woefully short of what he needed to be in that game.
And I'm a big fan. Coordinator.
And I'm a big fan of Peyton Manning's, but it hurt me to see how that game hurt him. And I don't think that I think that discussion gets worse for him.
So
he's
yes
got
or
a
no,
losing
is he
record
five
in
or
the
not?
Postseason. You know, as
he's the number one regular season quarterback of all time.
Yeah, but that's like saying she has a nice personality. That's what you're saying.
At least he won one. He won. At least he did win one.
You just said.
I know.
Nice personality
for personality.
You know. Listen, not much to look at.
Looks are gonna go. You need a good personality.
Good point. Anyway, I don't know. I guess so. But I just feel that his legacy. I think it's two separate discussions. The ranking of the top five all time thing, which really you got to start. Let's pull out more names onto this list, and you know, does Marino come in there for his greatness and prolific passing, prolific numbers? You know.
Mr. Okay, prolific. But it's based on prolific numbers. Peyton Manning's got the best numbers
ever.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. Because 1-2 in the Super Bowl is, I know 0-1 in the Super Bowl versus 0-2.
12-13 in the playoffs is disgusting.
So that hurts him next to Marino.
Yeah, and he was favored in all those games, but he did win the one. And I don't think that there's, if you were saying.
Dan was special.
Okay, so we'll go back to this. Yeah. Right now, you're a GM, and you can start a franchise with Dan Marino or Peyton Manning as rookies. Who do you pick?
As rookies, knowing what I knew of their careers, Dan Marino's something. I mean, I really like Peyton Manning, but two different, completely different guys too. Because Manning ran.
I didn't say
the
this was going to be easy. Who are you taking? I'm taking Peyton Manning.
Are you? He's so damn smart. I'm going to say I'm just to be different. I'll say Marino. Because I don't think that's blatantly wrong. I mean, Dan Marino's Dan Marino, and that's pretty – what he was extremely amazing in his time. He really was.
Dan Marino.
Now, Peyton Manning or Joe Montana?
See, I still think even though Joe Montana is the quote-unquote the greatest quarterback of all time, and I have, you know, a lot of love for him, Peyton Manning, I think if you put Peyton Manning on those 49ers teams – I think Peyton Manning can do the things that Joe Montana did. So I'll take Peyton Manning.
Okay. All right. Wow. Over your boyhood hero.
He is. His jersey is autographed in my basement.
Uncle Joe.
Along with a helmet.
Jason Gibbs is mad at us.
He is.
We've extended this too far.
Good radio, Gibbs.
Gibbs, this is good stuff. All right.
Thank you.
Gerard Cherry's going to be coming up soon here on CBD.
We'll go through the DBs.
Yeah, we go through some DBs with him.